Welcome to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast, brought to you by Aspalis Advisors and the Disaster Recovery Journal. Crisis management in today's world is ever-changing, and this podcast is our commitment to help you navigate successful outcomes for any crisis you may face. I'm your host, Vanessa Matthews. I specialize in providing insights and solutions for crisis, continuity, and resilience across industries from real estate and healthcare to terrorism in the airline and transportation worlds. No matter what industry you're in, this podcast will provide you the tools to build resilience in your organization. Welcome back to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast. Today, I'm super excited about our episode. We are joined by Kim Hooper, Human Resources Manager with Aspalis Advisors. Kim Hooper is an award-winning security professional with over 20 years of experience with companies like Walmart, Amazon, and my company, Aspalis Advisors. Today's title of this episode is Best Practices to Land Your Next Big Role, Resumes, Interview Tips, and More. Without further ado, Kim Hooper, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Vanessa. It's great to be here. Appreciate the invitation.
Absolutely. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I'm excited to talk about this episode today because in the labor market, it's still very competitive, and some would say it's still quite challenging for both the employers and the candidates to find roles and to land where they want to be next. So we have a lot of questions, a lot of things I want to get through with you. And for those of you who, for those who don't know you, what they may not know is you have a track record in helping people find and land their role. And so we'll kind of start with that. As a career igniter, you know the best practices to help you land your next big role. What are some of the best practices for interviewing, whether that's remotely or in person, that you can share?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, one of the key factors for being successful in an interview is do your research. Whatever company you are interviewing for, do some background research. Check and verify what their culture is. Check and look and see what some of the other activities for community engagement and involvement are. What are some of their core values? And do those core values align with who you are and what your expectations are? So first and foremost, do the research. Secondly, it's always important if you're going into an interview, come prepared. That means you may need a hard copy of your resume. You may also need pen and paper. It's often said what's heard is sometimes remembered, but what's written down is always remembered. So make sure you take key notes. And also when you come prepared, that means that you have questions as well. Absolutely, the employer is interviewing you and they want to learn more about you, but you also should do your due diligence to make sure that you have key questions that you want to have answers for. And those questions are not generic as how soon are you looking to hire or do you think I did a very good interview today? Make sure you have some substantial questions.
So, you know, what's interesting is you've been helping Aspalis Advisors in this role and really help us to kind of navigate our human resources department and capabilities. And we've recently gone through a set of interviews where we interviewed candidates and none of them had a pen or paper. And I thought it was interesting, but the panel thought that it was almost unprofessional to not bring a pen and paper. And I think what's so crazy is, one, that in today's society, people just don't do it. But then two, the perception still is that you should do it.
Absolutely. The perception hasn't changed. However, sometimes those candidates have a different impression. They assume that the employer is responsible for doing all the work, and it's actually the opposite. You're the candidate. You want to be a part of the company. You absolutely should be taking notes. Now, some may use an iPad, or I do not recommend using your cell phone, but pen and paper is always great. Think about it this way. If you knock that interview out the park and I give you a job offer and I want you to sign it today, and I say, hey, would you whip out your pen and sign this job offer, and you don't have one? What does that say about your preparation and whether or not you have confidence in yourself that you're going to get hired?
So let's talk about the resume, because the resume can lead you to a potential role, but it doesn't mean that you're going to get the job. Can you talk a little bit about the resume best practices that stand out for you, and specifically what you can do to stand out from other candidates with your resume?
So this is one of the biggest obstacles that I see with most candidates. I get candidates that may be overqualified or underqualified, and either way, their resume is what hurts them. And what I mean by that is every resume standard, you should have your full name and you should have contact information. And what we mean by contact information is a current cell phone number and a current email address. That email address should be professional. It shouldn't be Big Pimpin 45 of where you want me to email you. Instead, it needs to be first name, last name, at Gmail, which is a standard account. Some people still have Hotmail or Yahoo, but make sure it's a standard email address. In addition to that, you need a standard resume. I often see people who use templates, and the templates, they don't even remove all of where it says enter name here, enter job description here. And so if you're using a template, that can actually hurt you instead of help you. There's nothing wrong with old-fashioned Microsoft Word resume. In addition, with that resume, some people overdo it. When you have multiple colors in a resume, that's actually distracting. It's not helping you. Also, when you use a template, sometimes they'll do a column to the left, a column to the right, and a third column in the middle. That's also not a standard resume and not a template you should be using because it creates the reader three different sections to read, versus a standard resume should read left to right, sentence to sentence. Also, make sure it's bulletized. Some resumes you'll see is a full paragraph. Think about it this way. If I can't understand who you are and what you do in 2 pages, then that means that you're not clear, not the employer. So your standard resume is 2 pages, bulletized, and specific with data. Data is always important. You can tell me that you're great at customer service, but that tells me nothing. If you have data that says that you were a front-end manager and you improved customer service by 35% in the first 3 months that you were there, that tells me you're a person who delivers results. So make sure 2 pages bulletized with data and current contact information is critical.
Love that. And I love the comment on results. I have a coach that always says to me, Vanessa, there are reasons and there are results.
Absolutely.
Let's focus on the results. Okay. So, thinking about core values, I think that we're in a generation where we're in a society that really cares about culture and your organization. And outside of how you generate your revenue, what are you doing from a societal perspective? What's your footprint? And can I engage? Can I vibe with who you are as a business? So many companies have a set of core values and a company culture that informs how they hire, how they reward, how they release their workforce, how they do business. Question for you is, how can candidates speak directly to those core values when they're applying and interviewing for roles, but with honesty, right? Because you know when it's not the truth.
Absolutely. So the first thing that you need to do is make sure that you have a brand. And oftentimes I see candidates who do not believe that they have a personal brand, and everyone does. And that includes your digital footprint. In HR, we are a part of social media just like you are. So I can go on LinkedIn, I can go on Facebook, I can look you up on Instagram, and I can find out details about who you are, what you stand for, and what type of culture you have based on what I see in your personal brand. It's also the opposite. If you don't have a LinkedIn page, that tells me a lot about you too, because you're not creating a digital footprint, you're not connecting with others, and you're not building a network. So when you talk about core values, look at what the company presents as its core values. Aspalus is impeccable with explaining it and talking about it in the interview process. We believe in being bold and being brilliant. You have to know your stuff and you have to show up. And if you come to an interview specifically with Aspalus, one of our questions is about your core values and have you read ours and what are yours? And you'd be amazed how many people stumble in the screening process because they didn't go online and read Aspalus core values or they can't speak to their own core values and what they stand for.
That's a great point. And we're even in the process of updating our human resources playbook, and we've revamped it so that the core values are literally part one. Because if it's not relying on that, then really the business, it really doesn't matter. So question for you, we have a new candidate that we brought on, and her feedback to me after she got through our rigorous process was, congratulations, because the number one thing I heard throughout the entire interview process was about the core values. And so she said, I don't know how long it took you all to get there, but I want you to know that every single person on your team talked about them and displayed them, and it became what I understood to be a top priority. And so I wanted to ask you, based on your corporate experience in the Fortune 500 world, and then based on what you've experienced with working with Asphalus as a small business, can you share maybe two or three examples of how you've seen Asphalus bring those core values into the hiring process?
One of the things that's different about Asphalus versus some other companies that I've been a part of or that I've worked with is that we talk about it in day one. So in the screening process, that is an interview question, hint, hint, wink, wink, for those candidates who may decide that they want to apply for Asphalus. We're going to ask you about the core values. We're going to ask you which one's your favorite. We're going to ask you which one do you struggle with. You'd be amazed how many candidates say, oh, all the core values, I got it. I don't see any that are a problem. That also tells me a lot about you as a candidate. So make sure that you're able to answer that. Also, you'll see it show up differently in our meetings. One of the things that I enjoy is that we recognize and celebrate one another when we do something that is above and beyond, that represents the core value, how you show up, what you know, also making sure that you're bold and brilliant, giving back to the community. We recognize one another in meetings, and I think that's really important. And then a third way that it shows up also is the interview process. It's not a quick interview process. Even though we are classified as a small business, we still use the standard hiring practices, which means that we're going to take our time because we want that person who's truly committed to the cause, understands the values, and wants to move forward with us. And so where others may say, oh, I thought I was only going to have to do one interview or a couple of interviews, there's multiple interviews and projects that we expect in order to make sure that you truly are a culture fit for us. And those are all things that I appreciate about Asphalus and the way we do business.
So one thing I really loved about that is you brought in some processes and some things that we had not thought about before. And I remember the first time we started to run through it, one interview process turned into about 4 to 5 interviews. And then we had candidates that were like, this is too much, I'm dropping out. And I got discouraged and I said, well, maybe we should change our process. And you kind of pushed back and said, no, ma'am, if this is the process and this is how we weed them out, then the process is weeding them out. We're hiring for leadership roles and we have an expectation. And if we're going to put forth the amount of money, because let's be clear, candidates are bold in what they're asking for. From a compensation perspective, good Lord. And so your advice to me was to keep our, you know, was to keep our process, and we'll make do with what we have. And so you have really taught me to not waver, because just like a candidate has their own personal brand, an employer also has to have an employer brand.
Absolutely. And here's something else that's critical. And here's another way to think about it. As a candidate, if you're applying and you do one interview or two interviews and you're done, then my question to you in a relationship or a partnership, do you go on one date or two dates and then you say, oh, I know you're the one and I'm ready to marry you. So after date two, we're doing this and we're walking down the aisle. That's not always how it happens. Any candidate process is going to be a risk on both sides. We take a risk in bringing you on with our company, and you take a risk in deciding whether or not we're a good fit for you. So it's a dating process to make sure that we're all aligned and we're all consistent and that everyone's on the same page. We certainly don't want to waste a candidate's time and they feel like, man, you know, I thought this was a good company and 2 months later, they decide to turn in their notice and they're not happy with where they are. One of the best things about Asphalus is that you'll see that we have long-term committed people to the company, and that's because they believe in the process and they're here to stay.
Thank you for that. Short, shameless plug. Thank you. So what are the trends that you're seeing among the next generation that's entering or that are currently in today's workforce? And specifically in our industry, and I'll say risk, resilience, security profession.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I see that's a little different is going to be in the approach. Oftentimes when we have candidates that come to an interview, number one, they're not always dressed professionally. And that may be because they came from a casual environment. So their previous company, they may wear jeans or t-shirts or those types of things. We work with multiple executives. And so as a trend, I'm seeing that there's a gap in the expectation of what that looks like. It doesn't mean that we wear blazers and pearls and suit and ties every day, but we also are in an interview process and we want to bring our best. And then once we bring our best and solidify that role, then we can move into a casual Friday or a different expectation. There's also a difference that we see now, as you mentioned, compensation. So when you have a candidate that comes up front that says, hey, I want six figures and this is what my expectation is, as a company, we don't have a problem in paying the six figures, but that also means that we want to make sure in the interview process, we're making an investment. So we want to make sure that we have the right person for the investment. And also we want to have clear expectations. That's something that's different with us. We talk about money during the screening process on day one, because I don't want to have a candidate where we talked about a compensation range and then we get to a job offer and then you want to negotiate. We're not doing that. We've talked about it in step one, step two, step three. So by the time you get that offer letter, there are no surprises on your end and there's no surprises on our end. And it's a simple sign and move on forward. And everyone's happy at that point. So compensation is different. How we show up has been different. And finally, what I've also seen differently is that personal brand piece. We have more candidates that are connected with social media. I think that's very important. It also helps us to get a better understanding of who you are and what you stand for. And I also encourage those who haven't already to take the time to look at Decoded, look at some of our other podcasts, and engage with us at different events, whether it's DRJ or something else that's going on, so that you can better understand the company of who we are and what we do, especially in business continuity and business resiliency, because people think they know, but they have no idea.
It's three things for me. It's the attire that stands out to me. It's the boldness of the compensation. And it's not bringing a pen and paper to the interview or even an iPad. That has surprised me this entire year. So in closing, let's shout out a professional group. The Security Industry Association has been tremendously wonderful for relationships and helping to support and grow and be a part of the next set of future leaders. Can you share a little bit about what stood out to you about the future leaders at the latest Accelerize conference and give a short snippet of even what that means?
So Accelerize is the future generation of security professionals, whether it's in business continuity, business resiliency, and also just from an overall security perspective. So Security Industry Association, which is SIA, is an organization that has multiple facets. So Accelerize is our young professionals that are on the rise, thus Accelerize. I had the opportunity to go to that conference and meet young professionals 30 and under who are truly interested in the industry that want to excel in the industry. That particular conference is created and led by Katie Griotti, who's phenomenal as well. But what makes it different from a SIA perspective is that SIA is taking the time to reach into the youth, invest in them, expose them to what's out there, provide apprenticeships, and they also have a time mentoring program, which I'm happy to say I'm a part as a mentor, which allows others to get exposure to the security industry. We also have had multiple conferences every year that brings the team together where you can see diverse up-and-coming leaders in security.
So going back to that digital footprint that you spoke about earlier, what are the best ways that our subscribers can reach out to Kim Hooper?
Awesome. Number one, connect with me on LinkedIn. It is Kim Hooper, and you'll see me on LinkedIn. In addition to that, you can go to my new company, which is Arumic Consulting. So it's arumicconsultingllc.com. That is where I offer tips for new businesses, offer also client perspective as well, where if you want to go in and you say, Kim, I need to update my resume. I definitely need a footprint on LinkedIn and I don't have one. Or if you need me to come to your school or your company and you want me to do some training, I can do that for you as well. And then also you can always reach out to me in a message on LinkedIn and we can work on booking and we can talk about what your needs are, because ultimately some of my customers don't know what they don't know until they have a conversation with me and we figure out where you need to head so that we can ignite your career and take you to the next level. One of the biggest things for Arumic Consulting is we talk about connecting pieces of your world. And that is our tagline. Whether you need resume, LinkedIn, interview techniques, we do it all. Reach out and I can help you.
Awesome. Thank you for listening to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast, brought to you by Asphalus Advisors and Disaster Recovery Journal. Make sure you check out the show notes for this episode to see all the upcoming events, programs, and ways we can support you. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a review, and share it with a friend. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.